before you and praise your name. And Lord, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your protection of us. Thank you for speaking to us and giving us understanding of things we'd never know. And Lord, we thank you for that. We thank you for your security. And so we just give this time to you and speak to us in this as you reveal things to us that help us understand your mighty hand. Anoint me, and I just speak things of the Spirit, and then open every heart that they would receive and touch through the Spirit to be an encouragement. So we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to look this morning, Romans chapter 2, verses 28 through 29. So you can turn and look at the verses. And it says this: "For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter." Now, chapter 2 is really necessary for systematic theology, okay? And God, like we said, in what the Apostle is doing, and he's taking this in Romans, his book, God's book on systematic theology. And so this point is really important, so we need to pay attention to it. And to help us do this, and it has an impact on our life, believe it or not, it does. And to help us do that, we need to understand a little bit about when it was written, and that will help us understand how it was written. Okay, now we have to remember at the time of this writing, there were very few Christians. All right, and not only were there very few Christians, there wasn't even a concept of Christianity. You know, now in this world, and you can say Christian, and it conjures up all sorts of things, your background, what you've seen, good, bad, indifferent, but you have some basis. Hey, there's a lot of stuff. When you hear Christianity, it makes you think of something. When this is written, not so much, okay, but it's like, what's that? Never even heard of it before. So this is where Paul's coming from. So that helps us to understand a little bit. People didn't have our Christian baggage, if you will, all right, good or bad. And so that's what's happening at this time. So there's not many Christians. And when Paul's talking, he's talking to non-Christians. Also, the fact of it is, while there weren't very many Christians, there were millions of Jews. there were millions of Jews. I mean, it's just amazing. And there were Jews in the capital city of Rome, being Rome. There were Jews there. I mean, so you have a lot of Jews. And so when Paul would go and share the gospel, he'd go in a Jewish synagogue, because they're all over the place, okay? But there's not any Christians. There's not any Christians unless they were converted when he shared with them. All right. And so what we have here, and then we also know, and at this time, Christianity is built on the Jewish faith. So it's built on the Jewish faith. So here, this is what we're, no Christians, very few, millions of Jews, and speaking about Christianity, who's built on the Jewish faith. Now, therefore, he has to step forward, and he has to explain to these people what's going on. Okay, so you can see all these camps that are going on here. All right, and his explanation, okay, culminates in verses 28 and 29, what we read. So his explanation is culminating there. So again, it's several groups of people he's speaking to, bringing them all to an understanding and pointing to lead them to Christ. So I'm sure, because when you read through that, you go, why is he doing all this? You know, he kind of, so he's addressing all these groups. Now, what I'm going to do this morning is I want to focus on these last two verses, and these last two verses are going to help us better understand Old Testament and the New Testament. Because what Paul does with these verses, he ties them together. And so it's important for us to look at this. Now, as we look at this, and it helps us understand both Testaments, amen, we have to deal with the term circumcision, because it's in both places. It's in both places and how God uses it. Now, I'm going to give you just a real quick definition that will help you when you come across this, Old Testament and New Testament. The term is used to distinguish between Jew and non-Jew. That's what the term is used for. It's distinguished between those two. And it was used. You see them, Old Testament and New Testament, that term was used, and they knew what they were talking about. Also, it is a catch-all term, meaning those who keep the law. And the non-circumcision were the ones who don't keep the law. Y'all with me? Now, this is important. It's really important to understanding the Bible and the New Testament. So, again, the term is to distinguish, you can think in your mind, distinguish between Jew and non-Jew. And the term is a catch-all. Catch-all. You're of the circumcision. What does that mean? You're a Jew who keeps the law. It's the keeping of the law. You're non-circumcised. You don't keep the law. It's a catch-all term. And that's how it's used. That's how it's used. So when you do that, it helps you understand what Paul's saying. And he uses this biblical term that God has shown us here. Now, here we have, in these verses in Romans, here we have, as the Bible does, he reveals to us the depth of what he's saying and the importance of it. And so in this systematic theology, going through chapter 2 and ending with these two verses, he's giving us an explanation how the Old Testament, how the New Testament are connected together and what God's doing, okay? And so here in these two verses, you have the physical sign and the spiritual reality, all right? A physical sign, circumcision, and the spiritual reality, what it means in the spirit. And with the spiritual reality, the heart, you have the biblical continuity. Okay? The spiritual reality, the heart, you have the biblical continuity all through the scriptures. And also, Jesus was a Jew. Okay? So Jesus promotes the spiritual continuity. All right? All this is pulling together, folding in to expression of Christianity, what we believe. And that's what Paul is showing here. He's tying everything together. He's not throwing out one, putting some, he's tying it all together, or how God has tied it together from the very beginning, the very beginning. And I don't have this in my notes, but I'll say this also. It talks about when believers, you have this Jewish strain, you have this spiritual reality, you know, of what circumcision is, you know, of the heart. Then it talks about in the New Testament about non-Jewish believers, and they say they were adopted. What'd God do? He brought them into the light. They're adopted. And that's the reason that term is important. Say, well, you're not a physical Jew. No, but they believe, so they're adopted. They count because their heart changed. You with me? Huge term. I mean, huge terms as they explain Christianity. Huge terms as they explained it to the Jewish people. And the Jewish people did not like it in a little bit. All right? And they would even say stuff. Yuck. These Gentiles, and we don't want them part of our group. And God goes, no, they are. They're adopted in. They're not the den. And so that was a problem with the Jews, and even the believing Jews and the Gentiles would have issues, you know, because, man, the Gentiles kind of came from the bad side of the, you know, community, you know. But God says they're brothers and sisters, you know. Okay, God, but yuck. So those are the issues that they had going there. So, but here, what we have is an explanation in these verses about what God is doing. He's tying the whole Bible together. So now what I want to look to, so it's important that we can understand it. And if we understand it, then we can better see what God is trying to tell us in the scripture. All right, so succinctly, all right, let's start here. I'm just going to give a few verses, and so we'll have an understanding. So succinctly, we're going to look the number one thing. This term, circumcision, it identifies God's people. It identifies them. Now, where it came from, I want you to look at Genesis chapter 17, verse 10. Genesis 17, verse 10. And God tells Abraham this. This is my covenant between me and you, Abraham, and your offspring. All the physical people. And your offspring after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. That's where it came from, right there. That's right there. And that's where the Jews got the circumcision. Okay? That's where it came from. That's where it came, because they're children of Abraham. The Bible calls us children of Abraham. How did we get in and become children of Abraham? Adoption. Adoption. We got adopted in. We believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. Spiritual circumstances stepped in. We're adopted. We're adopted. So you see these terms? They're important terms. And that's how God used to explain himself. So here you have, it all starts with Abraham. Now also it's important to know that Abraham, and this is used a couple of places in the New Testament where it talks about, when Paul talks about believing faith, he goes back to Abraham. Every time. When he talks about faith, he goes back to Abraham. Well, the verse they use comes out of Abraham chapter 15. In Abraham chapter 15, it says, Abraham believed God, and he's declared righteous. Amen? That's chapter 15. So that's done. That's chapter. But it's not until chapter 17 that he says, okay, we're going to make this covenant, this physical covenant. There was already a heart change within Abraham before he got the physical commandment. You see? Now that's important because he believed first. He believed first. And then God established this covenant in chapter 17. Okay, are y'all with me? Are you excited you came this morning? Okay, anyway. All right. Now, so that's how it started. But it all ties back into Abraham. It was a sign. It was a physical sign. Now, what we have there, and the Bible explains in the Old Testament, it goes and explains the spiritual reality of this physical covenant. Now, let's look at this. So here in the Old Testament, we see the spiritual picture. God tells you, this is what I'm doing. This is what I'm doing with these called out people. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. And it says this, and the Lord your God will circumcise your heart and the heart of your offspring so that you will love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Okay, I have this physical sign that these are my people physically, but this is who I want. I want a spiritual people. I want a spiritual people. You know, and those spiritual people, you know, me, I'm personally, you're going to tell them, because I'm going to circumcise their heart. They're going to be spiritually mine, spiritually set apart for me. Now, he tied the two together. And this spiritual point is his point. Deuteronomy 30, verse 6 is his point. Okay, now as you see the Old Testament unfolding, he's referring to these Jews and all this stuff. Well, we know this truth of it. God's looking at the heart. You got a bunch of people, but he's looking in this bunch of people, and he's looking at those with a heart for him in this people, right? Because you got good Jews and bad Jews, and you know, and but he's looking at the heart. He continues to speak to the heart, and he's saying, so you see this coming out in the Old Testament, and God explains it. Now, so we have this, and Jeremiah grabs this whole thing, although he doesn't use the term, he does explain what God is going to do to these people's heart. And remember, and this is important, Abraham believed first. His heart changed first. He had a new heart first. And the physical sign came after, two chapters later, came after, all right? So the point is, even in the beginning, you know, Abraham believed God. So in Deuteronomy, he said, well, it's those that believe God. It's their heart. It's their heart. Well, Jeremiah picks up on this. So it's all in the Old Testament. It's all in the Old Testament. So Jeremiah said, this is the spiritual fulfillment, and this is how it's going to work out, even though he doesn't use the term. Jeremiah 31, 33. For this is the covenant. Well, the covenant was with Abraham. For this is the covenant, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them. I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they'll be my people. What did he tell Abraham? You're my man, and your offspring are my people. See, nothing's changed here, but the focus is like, no, the reality, I've showed you a physical thing that you're all connected, but the reality is your heart. You know, it's hard to go around. How do you know this guy is an American? I can tell his heart. Well, no, you can't. How do I know this guy is Italian? I can tell his heart. No, you can't. See? What it is, when God says, he backs up, I know my people, it's their heart. But I'm the only one that can see it. But it's coming out of this group of people who have committed my circumcision that you can actually see. But so in the Old Testament, you can see what's happening there. But when he steps into these physical people, he's calling out the spiritual people. The spiritual meaning they've given their heart to God. They're giving their heart to God. And this is what Jeremiah says. This is what I do. This is what I do. I write my law on their heart. Moses gave the Ten Commandments. Wow. God says, now I'm going to write it on your heart. Spiritual transformation. But you see what I'm saying? In the Old Testament, this is in there. It's all in there. So you have these things happening, and God is, and it really comes to light when we see the New Testament. And that's the reason Christianity is based on the Old Testament, the work of God, and what he's doing all through the ages. And he laid those foundations where we have a picture of what he's actually doing in the spirit, what he's actually doing physically, and what we see what's really happening in the spirit. And the things happening in the spirit are the most important things. Amen? Okay, now again, this is all through the scriptures. If you just kind of just blow it off, you know, it's going to leave you a bit where you're not quite grasping the full reality of what God's trying to tell us here. All right, so so what we have here is the full reality shows up in the church. That's where the full reality shows up, in the church, of what God was trying to communicate. He totally, what he does in the church, he totally does away with the physical for the spiritual. Does away with the physical for the spiritual. And therefore, Paul closes with this verse. Now remember, you got more Jews than you got Christians. When Paul says this, you got more Jews than you have Christians. And he's talking to the non-Jews and the Jews. And then he says this to them. And he drives home the point. It's the church. It's the church. It's your heart. So let me read again with this insight. Romans 2, 28 through 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outward, nor is circumcision outward or physical, but a Jew. Now we will know what a real Jew is. But what's a real Jew? But a Jew is one inwardly. And circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. So I could, now I'm just using this for demonstration, I could say, I am a real Jew. If I could say, I'm a real Jew. Why? Because I believe my heart, the circumcision of the heart by the Spirit, and I trust Christ. That's a real Jew. That's a real Jew. And non-believers are adopted in to the Jewish clan, the real Jews. Do you see how Paul tied all this thing together? Now, and so what he's looking at is the Spirit. Now, the definition for a Jew in the Bible is God's called out people. Old Testament, God's called out people. New Testament, God's called out people. We're God's called out people because of what's happened in our heart. Amen? So that's the importance of it. So we look at it. Now, I want you to think that. Okay, we're done. So now let's just move in the New Testament, and we're going to see why this is so important. Now, you see why Romans 2, 28 through 29 is really, I mean, it's a head thumper for the Jews. I mean, it is, I am a Jew. I don't, maybe not. Maybe not, you know. See, and it's like, no, where's your heart? Because that's the Jews. That's who I'm looking for. And that's what Paul says. That's what, they said, well, I have the law. That don't mean anything. You know, I have the temple. He goes, that don't mean anything. We have the country. That don't mean anything. Do you have me? Did it happen inside? Did it happen inside? It's a matter of the heart by the Spirit. Did it happen there? That's the key. That's the key. So he establishes this. Now he moves into the rest of Romans and the rest of the New Testament. And it's like, oh man, he just, Paul reworked the whole storyline to be consistent with what God was doing. But Paul reworked the whole storyline. You see what I'm saying? So it's important. It's like, oh my gosh. Now, from the very beginning of time, it has always been about the heart. Always, period. In the New Testament sense, it is trusting Christ and receiving the Holy Spirit. As a believer, to grasp this fullness of God's transforming power, we have to understand this term. And he gave us physical, but said, this is what's happening in your heart. You can't see it, but this is what's happening in your heart. And there's a change took place in your heart. Amen? Now, you will see, apply it to something. Okay, just apply it to something. And you have to understand when you're coming into it and going to the scripture, and they, you know, you have Jews, non-Jews, you know, and they're calling this term back and forth where you're the circumcision, you're not the circumcision, and all these terms, you know, one distinguishes, and it's a catch-all, you know, so those things are flying around. And so Paul nails it. I mean, he just flat nails it. He nails it in Romans, but this next verse, he nails it. But we need to understand the definition to understand how God and how Paul nails it. All right? Y'all ready? This is just one verse. Alpha, I want you to turn to Galatians 6:15. Now, with this information, this is like totally unsettling to the world at the time. We're missing a little bit of it now because these terms aren't so relevant to us. So we miss a little. Back then, they didn't miss it. All right? They didn't miss it. And it's incredibly relevant. And it capsulizes all of what God was doing. So look at Galatians 6, chapter 6, verse 15. And I just picked this verse out. You're going to see it all through the scriptures. When you read through the New Testament, every time you see these words, you're going to go, whoa, you know, at what's happening here. All right. Huge doctrine. Talking to these people. For neither circumcision counts for anything. It didn't count for nothing. Nor does uncircumcision. Uncircumcision counts for nothing. The whole bunch of you are off base. That's what he said. See, it's like having a speaking engagement. You talk to people, you got 500 people. I want to start this off with the whole bunch. You're off base, all of you. So you introduce your conversation. That's what he's saying. You're off base. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now pause and think about that. Look at what Paul did. what he did in Romans, he did it in Romans. Now, in Romans, he did this. The next chapter, 3 in Romans, he lays out beautifully in detail salvation. Salvation and how it works. And how it works. See? But he had to get, he had to do chapter 2 first. He had to take care of all these misconceptions before he got to salvation. And right here he's doing it. It doesn't make any difference. Well, I think, no, it doesn't make any difference. It's not what you do. Are you a new creation? Now, how are you a new creation? It's the heart. It's the heart. It's a transformation of the heart. The transformation makes you a new creation. Now, I will play. Is it the rules you follow? You know, is it how good you are? Is it how intelligent you are? Is it how much you know about the Bible? No. It doesn't count. It doesn't make any difference. What counts? If you know creation. See? That's what happened. And Abraham was a new creation before he is circumcised. He gave that as a sign. And this is a picture of what happened to Abraham and your Abraham's children. And the same thing happened to Abraham's going to happen to you. You have to have a heart change, a new creation. You're a new creation. Now think about the term new. That's something new. That's new, you know. If somebody says, you're going to get a new car, and they drive up a 1985 Ford and give it to you. Well, I mean, it's a nice car, but brother, it ain't new. It's not new. See, no. It's, I want a new car. I want a 2021 Lincoln. That's new. See, and what Paul is saying here, no, it's not the old. You're the 2021 Lincoln. You're new. See, that's what he's saying. In comparative purpose. And he goes, this other stuff doesn't count. This other belief system, this other religion, this other views. Now, what other views? The views of the circumcision and the view of the non-circumcised. Now, who does that take? Now, based on our definition, who does that include? Away. Everybody. You're either one or the other. See? Everybody. Does that make any difference? I don't care what you believe. But I believe this. I believe this. You know, no, it's a new creation. I went to a party one time, and it was years ago, somebody in the church, and they had a lot of unbelieving friends and stuff. So I introduced, and they had all these different occupations and stuff. And they asked me, well, you do this. I'm a pastor. And it's amazing how quick that comment changes the conversation. It's just amazing, you know. Sometimes good, sometimes bad, but it changes the conversation. And this guy, he said, oh, and, I mean, he didn't care what I was, you know. Oh, that's good, you know. He said, y'all believe in all that Jesus stuff? I said, yeah, that's what I believe. He says, you know, I think you got it nailed with Jesus. I thought, well, this is, he said, yeah, because I really believe what happened is when Jesus came, he went all around the world. And then all these religions, he preached, and they have some variation. And so he preached to, and he preached Buddhists. He's the one that preached the people. Buddhist. And then he left, and then he preached to Muslims and Muslims. And he went, I mean, I must give him credit for all the religions he knew about. I mean, because I didn't even know where they, but he said, and then Jesus, and so he spread all these different religions, and then people could come to God in all these different ways. And you're just, you know, you're just like, really? <You know? laughs> Buddy, it counts for nothing what you think. It counts for nothing. You know, and it's like, no, it's just Jesus, you know. And I think I did tell him. It's no, he didn't go anyplace. Now, how can you be sure he didn't go anyplace? Were you there? Just kind of betting on it. He didn't, you know. Anyway, but the point of it is, in laying the foundation of what we believe, it's a circumcision, uncircumcision, and what you believe counts for nothing. even if I am a good Christian and I go to church every Sunday and I do this, mama raised me a good boy, you know, means nothing. You see, nothing. It means nothing. It says it right here. It means nothing. And this is what Paul was dealing with. This is what Paul was dealing with. And he just said, so he explains it, and then he goes, it means nothing. It means nothing. What counts is a new creation. What, so you don't believe something. You do believe something different, but it's not because you believe something different. It's because you are something different. You are something. You're a new creation. You don't function the way other people function. You don't function like you used to function. Things in you change. Lifestyles change. Not because of what you know, because of who you are. It changed. That's what this is saying. This is what's saying. That's what Romans is saying, and that's what this is saying. Now, what we're going to see in Romans, he says, you change. Now, in Romans chapter 3, he goes, now this is what you believe that causes the change. See, he identifies it. He spells it out. But so here we are. Amen? I mean, it's like, hallelujah. I mean, it's like, praise the Lord. But Paul, in his systematic theology, he had to kind of cover the whole world. No, this is it. Okay. And what you believe doesn't count. Here's the truth. And you're a new creation. Did he just give them more information to follow? No, he gave them information to be a new creation. Now, they'll follow that, but they were a new creation first. You see what I'm saying? Okay, but the new creation. See, and like new creations kind of go, oh, God, I'm going to do creation. What you say? I want to do what you say. See, he's a new creation. I want to know, you know. Okay, here's the rules. I keep this, and I'll be godly. No, that's not you. No, that's not a new creation. But he's disciplined. Well, you're disciplined, but you're not a new creation. There's a difference. And that's what he's telling the Jews. See, telling the Jews. And he honors them. In fact, the next verse in chapter 3 says, some guy, and he answers his own question. He gives the question, he answers it. He says, he goes, you go, well, what good are the Jews? I mean, he actually says that. Chapter 3, verse 1, I don't have it. He says, what good are the Jews? He goes, they were good because they kept the word and the Bible, and they kept it, you know. Didn't get them to heaven, but they did keep it. You see what I'm saying? So he's explaining everything. And this is where systematic theology, you understand. And he's showing us these things. Okay, so now where we are, we see this term identifies everything Paul's trying to teach. So it's important to know the term. It teaches everything. We see being Jew, non-Jew, keeping the law or not keeping the law. It's not the issue. It's not the issue. But only being a new creation matters. Now, we're born again through the Holy Spirit. We become a new creation. And have a new identity in Christ. Amen? Now, we know that. We have a new identity in Christ. Now, what I'm going to do, I'm going to skip way up in Romans. I'm going to go to Romans chapter 7 because he's moving there. He's moving there. But I want to skip up there to drive home this point. That here we are is a new creation. We're not, our value is not based on the rules we keep. The value is based on who we are, is being a new creation. I mean, and so, man, it's not being a Jew and all this stuff, and it's not, well, what is it? Where am I? Where am I? Okay? It's a good question. Where am I? Look what it says in Romans 7, 6. This is where we are. This is where God says we are. We serve in a new way. Wouldn't a new creation serve in a new way? Wouldn't a new creation serve in a new way? We serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Process that. We serve in a new way. I'm holy because I keep these rules. Paul goes, no, that's the old way. No, it counts for nothing. It counts for nothing. Or you're a new creation. You're a new creation. You don't serve by the written code anymore. You serve by the Spirit. Because you were made a new creation by the Spirit. See, the doctrine of the Holy Spirit is really important because that's the motivator, that's the function, that's what, you know, moves us in the right direction. Moves us in the right direction. Amen? I mean, he's telling us. I mean, he's drawing this out. You got the Jews, they won't get it. And you got the whole non-believing Jews. They never heard of a Christian. They never seen, it's not there. Paul, for the first time, is telling them what they are. See, and they're looking at this. So what they have to receive the Holy Spirit to be that new creation. Amen? I mean, this is powerful, and it's unfolding. Now, okay, here we are. Now, next week, look at the details of the function of what we believe actually happened. Okay, it's fascinating, the details of the salvation. But for this morning, we want to look, as we look at this, and see the biblical terminology most clearly states that it's only the heart connection and the transformation by God through Jesus that matters for all life and eternity. That's it. It's a transformation through Jesus. That's it. And the relational connection. It is the relational connection with that. And there's a transformation with that relational connection. Now, so there's a verse in 2 Corinthians 13, Paul makes this statement. He goes, better check yourself to see if, he says, you better test yourself to see if you're in the faith. I mean, he actually says that. What is he saying? He's saying, where's your heart? That's what he's saying. You better test yourself. He's saying, where's your heart? And so it really, as we come and look at this, we need to look at our heart before the Lord. We need to look at it before our heart. We need to have a love check. It's not what we do. It's who we serve. It's not what we do. It's who we love. Amen? And see, Paul goes all great details telling this. Now, Jesus, you know, he throws something out here and you're going, man, this seems a little tough. But what Jesus is saying is the same thing. He's saying, listen, it's not what you do, it's who you love. It's the relationship, okay? And let's just look. And sweet Jesus said this. I want you to look at Matthew 7, 22, 23. Jesus said, you know Jesus, and you have the pictures. He's sitting on the grassy hill and has a lamb in his beside him and two kids sitting in his lap. He said this, on that day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and cast out demons in your name and do mighty works in your name? And then Jesus said, well, I declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of lawlessness. Goodness gracious, alive. But it all ties into what we just said. Serving the new way of the Spirit. You know, if we want to prophesy to somebody, I want God to tell me to prophesy, and then I'll prophesy. I don't want to just think something up. Prophesy, hey, God, look at me, isn't that cool? I've caused some, you know, stuff happening here. He goes, I never knew you. I never knew you. And that term, it's so relational. I never knew you. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are. Now, who's he talking to? You know, somebody, the head of the mafia or something like that? No, he's talking to church folks. All right. Now, and so what you got to look at, you look at this and you see, gosh, this is, oh my goodness, we need to understand we serve in a new way of the Spirit and not the written code. God, it's me and you. Speak to me. Show me. I want to follow you. And we serve because of who we are. We want to serve because of who we are. We have a desire to serve because of who we are, because there's a heart transformation. Amen? If you come to every Sunday for a month, I give you a gold star, you know, or take you out to eat. Okay, you know, that counts for nothing. I mean, just nothing. It counts for nothing, you know. But it's like, if you come because your heart motivates, I want to be with God's people, and I want to hear the word of God, and I want to be there in this time with God. It counts for something. Because it's a heart relation. Now, by the way, I know we're in this crazy COVID thing, and that didn't mean particularly to apply to that because of sickness and taking care of yourself. I wasn't applying that. I was just talking about the motivation of doing anything. Amen? See, and that's what God's saying here. And that's what he's saying there in Galatians. Uncircumcision, circumcision means nothing. What counts is new creation. And a new creation means a new way of the Spirit, not an old way of the written law. And therefore, we're called into a whole different world. See, religion doesn't fit within this. Religion doesn't fit within this. You know, what we're talking about, relation and how we walk with the Lord all the time. It's relational. It's relational. Now, so as we look at this, we think, oh my goodness, who we are and who we love determines what we do. You see? That's what determines what we do. Who you love. Jesus in the gospel, especially in the gospel of John, said, love me. Why? That determines what we do. We love him. It determines what we do. We don't do what he says. The question is, do we love him? And that's a personal thing, a question we have to answer. So now the Apostle Paul, he wraps this whole thing up. He wraps this whole thing up. And with all this information, it kind of helps us understand what he's saying, what he is saying. Okay? And so what we have with Paul here, it's we see for those who trust in Christ, they'll proclaim with their whole heart, just like Paul did. See, Paul was a real Jew. I mean, he is a physical Jew, but he is a real Jew. Okay, here's the whole thing. And so he wrote 3/4 of the New Testament. In fact, he wrote Romans and Galatians, okay? And look what he says. He says, okay, you got this? Okay, this. Now this is how you function. Okay, this is how we do it. Okay, this is how we do it. Look at Galatians 2:20. This is just incredible. Galatians 2:20. And this is going to be sum up the message, sum up this whole session here this morning. He goes, I have been crucified with Christ. Now, I'm going to stop there. What does that mean? If you were crucified with Christ, what would that mean? Dead. Dead is a hammer. You're dead. It says, I've been crucified with Christ. I'm dead. My selfish interests are dead because I'm gone. My selfish desires are dead. I'm gone to dead. See, he says, I am crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live. He's dead. Right? I mean, it's no longer I who live. Now, he's alive. He's crucified. But it's no longer I who live. I'm here. Your heart's fine. But it's no longer I who live. But Christ who lives in me. Process that. I'm crucified with Christ. You're dead. I mean, if somebody's dead, you would never do this, but just for lack of, and you haul off and you kick them. What do they do? Nothing. They're dead. I'm dead with Christ. You come slap me, I'm going to slap you back. Well, I wasn't quite as dead as I thought I was. Right? You see what I'm saying? But if you're dead, you don't do anything. You're dead, right? But wait a minute, you got to do something. Well, he said, yeah, it is no longer I who live. I'm alive, but it's no longer me. But Christ who lives in me. Christ in me. We don't serve by the written code. We have a new way of the Spirit, Christ in us. Okay, Jesus. Well, let's go here. Okay, Jesus. Well, okay, Jesus. That's what he's saying. The whole thing is it's a new creation. It's a new creation. I've had this happen to me. And I mean, you know, you won't give people grace and come up, brother, I have a word from the Lord. And they prophesy over me, you know, whatever. And I'm going, I don't say it, but I'm thinking it. I said, I'm not receiving that. I'm not receiving it. You're excited, and that's good, but I'm not receiving that. Who speaks to me is Christ in me. And he ain't in tune with what you just said. Now, God uses people, Holy Spirit in them, to speak words, but your spirit within you will confirm. Oh, that was good. See, he'll confirm. So you're the one. Well, he prophesied me, I went and did this and lost my whole house. So, well, you evidently weren't walking with Jesus, or you wouldn't have done what he said. Because you have Christ in you, and that's who you obey. Are y'all with me? You see what I'm saying? See how this is tied up? You say, systematic. It's like, oh my God, I didn't know circumcision had so much to do with this. But it did. And Paul explains it, and he explains it in both of these books. And you see that. Okay, this is just one verse. Okay, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Me being alive is just like Jesus being alive, and Jesus is working through me. And I need to be attuned with God so I can be led by God on what God is telling me. I read the scripture and say, Jesus, speak to me and show me what you want me to see. Jesus, interpret your word if you've written, Lord. Your whole mindset changes. Your whole mindset changes. And then Paul goes on now and explains himself. And the life I now live, now he acknowledges, I'm really not physically dead. So he comes out of that. And the life I now live in the flesh, grab your cheek. That's what Paul did. And now the life I now live, right here, he's at this one, I'm still alive. I'm really not dead, but I'm telling you spiritually what's going on. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. By the faith, what's faith? Hear God. Do what he says. I hear God and I do what he says, so I live by what the Son of God tells me. All right? In the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Amen. Do you see the connection? Do you know something? Yeah, you know what God told you. Well, you're writing the scriptures. Faith, to have faith, you got to hear something. You got to know something, you know, like that. And that's when you're paying attention to what God's showing you. All your life. It's as natural. Pastor Milliken, God bless him. And he would tell me this, which I didn't have a clue. I just looked at him, you know, and he knew I was just looking at him and didn't have a clue. But he would tell me about this. And this is what he said. He said, oh, no, this is easy. How many of you go, yeah, that's easy. No, he says, just like a duck going into the water. I'm thinking, yeah. I said, yeah, I'm sinking like a rock. I mean, I'm going in the water. He said, no, it's just like, and you see all those other little ducks, they just come. That's what it's like. See, it's by the faith in what God showed me, so it just flows out. It flows out. See, what Paul tells us, he's telling us about a Christianity that's way beyond what most people comprehend. Way beyond. And he just tied it, it's way beyond. I'm telling you what this is. And who is the Son of God? Why would we want to follow him anyway? Who loved me and gave himself for me. Well, I said, I love you. I love you. You can do this. I love you. But God, don't look at me. I love you. How? By faith and what I tell you. But look around. Look at me. You know what Peter did? And he saw Jesus walking on the water. He said, oh my goodness, look at that. That is cool. You know, he said, Jesus, call me to you so I walk on. He said, okay, come on. And so Peter starts walking on the water. Yeah. And then what he did, he looked around. He said, this is the dumbest idea I ever had in my life. This is, I mean, there's a storm, there's what? What was I thinking? See, he took his eyes off Jesus and looked at the storm. And when he did, he sunk. And then Jesus, God bless him, reached in and pulled Peter up. You know what he says? Nice try, buddy. He pulls him up and says, oh, you have a little faith. You didn't believe what I said. You started looking at everything else. That's what the Bible is telling us. That's what Romans tells us. That's what Galatians is telling us. See? And that's what Paul's coming out. And that is what's being communicated. And religion doesn't get it. Just flat. And I mean religion by the perfunctionary doing stuff. Okay. God telling you to do something gets it done. Because why? God does it. See, it's like God, I got this thing. This is what I'm going to do. Wallace, come here. We're going to get this done. And I'm going, the wrong man. You know, it's like, no. But he said, no, we're going to get this done. Now, you step out for me, we're going to get this done. You step out in me, and more clearly, I'll get it done if you step out with me. And then you'll be a witness to me. Because everybody knew you couldn't do it anyway. You see what I'm saying? That's what this is saying. See, and Paul is using this as a build-up to chapter 3. Okay, so we're just like, oh, we'll just slide over there. It's circumcision, not them. No, it's all tied together. And it's tied from the very beginning of time. Very beginning of time. It's not rules, but Christ who lives in a new creation. We're still trying to get in that 85 Ford. God says, I got it. 2021 Lincoln here. No, I just feel better with this one. I can handle this one. That's too big for me. You see what I'm saying? And God says, no, it's because that's me. I got this. I just need you to show up. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your word. And Lord, you know, I mean, it's amazing. We look at the scripture. And it's what you say. You know, even as I look at it, even as I read this, I'm thinking, God, there's no human way possible that I can walk in this truth. And I think that's what identifies it as God's truth, is God's truth. Because there is no human way possible to walk in it. The only way to walk in it is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul. And it says, all the prophets. Oh, what the prophets said. Hang on this. Hang on this. Hang on this. So God, I just pray we learn something. I pray you be our teacher. I pray you speak to us. And Lord, we need some encouragement. And so I pray each one of us would, you would just give, you know, a little prompting, a little sign, a little revelation to say, oh, this is true what you've said in your word. And that we can be encouraged, God. That we're here not alone, but we are new creations, and we're new creations because you indwell us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.